makers of Campbell Soup present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Our offering for tonight, Theodora Goes Wild, deals with the fascinating subject of a lady who leads a double life. This is, of course, a particularly fascinating subject where the lady is a beautiful, straight-laced, virtuous young woman who is at the same time the author of the most lurid bestseller of her day. Well, when that happens, we arrive at as diverting and heartwarming a piece of entertainment as Theodora Goes Wild, the Columbia Pictures Corporation success of a few seasons ago, which we're about to present tonight. Miss Loretta Young is our star, the Miss Loretta Young than whom no other Hollywood actress of recent years has made more of an impression upon the susceptible male youth of America as the dream girl whom it would be the supreme delight to take to the college prom, the marriage registry bureau, the folks back on the farm for Thanksgiving dinner, or any of the other thousand places in which it imagines itself with its romantic choice. As usual, the male youth of America is right. Theodora Goes Wild starts on its hilarious and romantic way in just a moment, but first, here's something that could have happened the other night. Supper time in the house just down the street from where you live.
Some more soup, guys? There's plenty.
Believe I will.
Good.
Certainly hits the spot on a cold night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said you'd been shopping all day.
Why, I have been, yes.
But vegetable soup, I mean, doesn't it take you quite a while to...
I was just waiting for you to say something about that. This is Campbell's vegetable soup.
Campbell's, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it certainly tastes fine, all right. Lots of vegetables in it, too, the way I like it. You know something?
What, dear?
I've always said you make grand vegetable soup. I still say so. But say, when you can buy as fine a vegetable soup as this, why, there's just no sense of you spending time making it anymore.
That's something that's happening daily in countless homes the country over. Because Campbell's way of making vegetable soup is really the good home way, too. They simmer a vigorous beef stock and fill it with a variety of tender cooked vegetables, 15 of them. Now, isn't that just the tempting, nourishing kind of vegetable soup you want your family to have? Why not have heartwarming plates of Campbell's vegetable soup for supper, say, tomorrow night? And now, Loretta Young and Orson Welles in Theodora Goes Wild.
Caroline Adams cereal in the Bugle is the most indecent thing I've ever
made.
Turning that Caroline Adams cereal
on
the cereal.
I've
got a new paper and a new
editor.
Oh, yes, thing is absolutely disgusting. Please cancel my subscription as soon as the Caroline Adams cereal is completed.
I apologize. Hello. Linfield Bugle, what's that? What's that, Miss Johnson? Okay, Miss Johnson, I apologize. I apologize for breaking my neck to buy the rights to the best-selling novel of the day. I apologize for waking Linfield out of a 20-year sleep to show how people live and love in the wide-awake world. I apologize. What's that? You're giving me fair warning. Miss Rebecca Lynn has called a special meeting of the Ladies' Aid Society tonight to take the matter up officially. Hello, Linfield Bugle. 1 minute, please. What's that, Mrs. Johnson? You bet I'll be there. Yes, madam, I apologize. I apologize. I apologize.
Mr. Waterford.
I apologize.
One moment, ladies. One moment. Ladies. One moment.
Quiet, girl.
For those of you who haven't read Miss Caroline Adams' masterpiece, let me tell you, it gets even worse. Listen, you understand these are not my words.
Of course, dear.
They're Caroline Adams. I'm simply reading. Reading from page 5 of Jed Waterbury's Linfield Bugle. I'd better be going home.
Mr. Waterbury, you ought to be ashamed.
I apologize.
I'd better be going home, Pamela said. It's late. Sent her a smile. It's 2 minutes before he answered, his eyes devouring her all the while. Home, Pamela? Why, you pretty little... It's very early. The night's just begun. For us.
For us is printed just like all the other words, Miss Rebecca.
I know how to read, Mr. Waterbury. I resume, ladies.
Resume.
He started slowly toward her. His steps were so deliberate, relentless. Pamela felt imprisoned and helpless.
That's what I can't understand, Rebecca. It said that the door was unlocked.
But the man was possessed of brute strength, Mrs. Hoybrot.
The man was possessed of...
Ladies. Please, please. She wanted so much to run out of this strange apartment down into the street, but her brain was reeling with drink, and she was robbed of all purpose. He was close to her. He reached out violently, his hands fastened on her arms. She was suddenly pressed tight against him. She fought desperately to break out of his grasp. Let me go, let me go, she shrieked. She could feel his breath on her cheek, his lips on hers. The room suddenly went dark.
That's enough, Rebecca. I think he's heard sense.
Miss Rebecca, if you don't mind, I haven't been taking the Bugle lately. I'd like to hear the rest.
Don't worry, Miss Wilson. You can get a copy. I printed an extra 100. I knew there'd be a demand for them after Miss Rebecca got through reading.
That'll be enough from you, Mr. Waterbury. The issue...
And remember, ladies, that was only the first installment.
The issue is closed. It's clear. The issue is closed. It's clear. Is this literary circle going to let filthy, vile trash like this come right into our home and corrupt our vile family?
We certainly are.
There you are. Do we or do we not want this book stopped, ladies? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is that plain enough, Deadwater?
Yes, that's plain enough, and I got more important things to do than fight the literary circle of Linfield. I'll just cut out printing the thing from now on.
That's fine.
But I'd better warn all of you. I only got 100 copies of this paper. Come early and avoid the rush.
Oh, girl, please. Please. Mrs. Hoydrop.
Well, I...
Now, one thing more. It says here that this book is published by Stevenson and Company in New York. Well... I propose that the literary circle go on record right here and now as condemning Stevenson and Company lock, stock, and barrel. All in favor? Theodora.
Yes, Aunt Rebecca.
Theodora, you didn't say I.
Did not?
No. Do you or do you not condemn this book, Theodora?
I.
Yeah, that's fine. Ladies, I think I'll draw up a resolution tonight. And when my little niece Theodora goes to New York tomorrow, she can see that the resolution is sensitive, Stevenson and Company. Agreed?
Aye.
Theodora.
Aye, Aunt Rebecca. Aye.
To Arthur Stevenson, Stevenson and Company, New York. Please be advised that at an extraordinary meeting of the Ladies' Literary Circle of Linfield, it was unanimously agreed that you be informed that, in our opinion, the new novel by Caroline Adams, published by you, is a disgrace to American morals and a sin to American youth. Signed, Linfield Literary Circle. It's magnificent, that's what it is.
And it's all your own fault, Mr. Stevenson.
My fault, Miss Lynn.
Well, why did you have to sell the serial rights of my book to the Linfield Bugle?
Oh, why not? I think that's very funny, Miss Lynn.
Miss Adams.
Oh, all right, Miss Adams. And now, will you please stop worrying? The identity of Caroline Adams will never be known. I'll carry the secret to the grave. That takes care of everything, doesn't it?
Everything but my own conscience. Oh, if Linfield ever finds out...
Oh, my dear Miss Adams, don't tell me you care what the Linfield Literary Circle thinks.
Well, I can't help it. I'm part of it and everything else in Linfield. Were you raised in a small town by a maiden aunt?
No.
Have you taught Sunday school for 10 years?
No.
Have you played the organ in church since you were 15?
No.
Well, I have. And right now I ask myself, where did Caroline Adams come from? How did all this start, anyway?
Well, you walked in here one day with a very promising manuscript.
My first and my last, Mr. Stevenson. Caroline Adams has written her last book. Goodbye, Mrs. Stevenson.
Oh, wait a minute. There's something else that's very important. It seems that I tell the truth. I mean, the way it is. Well, frankly, I promised my wife the next time you came in, she could meet you.
You what?
Oh, I simply had to.
But you promised. Nobody. You said you'd carry my secret to the grave.
Oh, I will. I swear I will. I'll arrange to have my wife buried with me.
But
I'll
I...
do any...
Good day, Mr. Stevenson.
I beg you. I implore
no,
you.
Sorry.
I beseech you.
I'm sorry. I can't. I never believe it. Why, you don't tell me you're Caroline Adams.
Oh, Adams, I had no idea. I mean, there was
anything...
Oh,
could you introduce us, Arthur?
Oh, yes, of course, dear. Allow me, Miss Lynn, my wife, Miss Adams.
Miss Stevens, I'll never forgive you for this, Mr. Stevens. Oh, you're
worrying about your secret, Miss Adams, aren't you? I swear
you... You had better close the door, Ethel.
Of course.
I'll close it. Hello.
Who are you?
Oh, don't mind me. Hello. I said hello.
Get out of here, Michael.
I just came in.
The one thing I can say for Michael Grant, he only shows up where he's not invited. What do you want, Michael?
That's a fair question. I'll give you a fair answer. I heard that Caroline Adams
you,
is here.
What do you mean you heard? You snooped around and found
one
out.
One way of hearing. Frankly, I felt you ought to meet me, Miss Adams. I'm the man who painted the cover for your book and the glorious woman on the poster.
Well, I don't know about glorious, but I know she's very underdressed.
Yes, she is. That's where I found her in your book, Miss Adams.
You
I even had to add some quotes to her, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you apparently pictured it as just yourself.
Yes, you're not the way I pictured you, Miss Adams. Yourself, I must
say.
Oh,
no. Adams,
you aren't. No, I'd always imagined that Miss Adams ought to look like a... well, she ought to look like a woman who's lived.
Well, I've lived.
I mean like in your book. What explanation?
I fail to see why I should be dissipated looking just to please you, Mr. Grant.
Let her alone, Michael.
What did you expect to see? A tattooed woman?
Well,
of course
exactly
he didn't,
tattooed, but
I never could get a word about you out of Arthur. I'm just dying to know things. Did you live that scene in which you and Sir Anthony...
Miss Anne has to go, darling.
Yes, I do have to go. I've got several appointments.
Well, maybe later in the afternoon.
No, I'm sorry. My whole afternoon is taken.
Oh, that's all right. We'll all have dinner together.
No, really, I won't be able to, but thank you very much. I have to catch an early train back to, back home.
Oh, where's that?
Well, out west. Way out west. Well, west, you know.
Oh, Miss Adams, there are trains leaving all night for way out west. You simply have to meet at
dinner.
No, I won't take no for an answer.
No,
and
I...
whenever won't take no for an
then
answer.
Then it's all arranged.
Right.
We'll meet you at... No, really,
it's
Mrs.
No use calling in the police, Miss Adams. You won't be able to get out of it, but I promise you we'll put you on the earliest possible train after dinner.
Very well, I'll be here. I really will, but I've got to go now.
Oh, have a nice afternoon.
Yes,
nice.
I will indeed.
Afternoon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
How's it till 6 o'clock?
Goodbye, darling. You shouldn't have bullied that poor girl into having dinner with
her. It was her own idea.
Yes,
well,
dear.
I'll be running along, too.
Sorry, you can't have dinner with her.
Yes, I'm so. Who said I could?
I did. Just now.
Having dinner with you for so long, Miss Adams. All those other books Arthur publishes. On a Donkey Through Brazil, The Semi-Totalitarian State Is Inevitable. Or was there really a Francis Bacon? Oh, who cares about books like that? But you're not.
I'm awfully glad you like it, Mrs. Stevens.
Oh, I didn't like it. I loved it.
Well, I...
Only a woman who has lived, who has known what it is to spend empty nights, whose heart has been disastrous at each relentless...
Miss Adams remembers the phrases she wrote, Ethel. You don't have to quote them to her.
Tell me something, Miss Adams. Just between us. Did you write while we... The things actually were happening?
What?
Or did you, well, wait for later, until the veil of memory...
Mrs. Stevenson, you must believe me. A writer doesn't have to experience the things she writes about.
Oh, I know, but it's so lovely when she really does. And anybody reading your book can tell
I wish I'd never written that book, Mrs. Stevenson. I really do.
Well, for a book that has sold nearly 200,000 copies and still going strong, that's quite a wish.
Oh, but you had to write the book, Miss Adams. You had to. Only a woman whose soul isn't shattered like yours could have written it. Only
but my soul isn't shattered, Mrs. Stevenson.
Oh, how brave you are.
Take that note of envy out of your voice, Ethel. It isn't decent. How about some cocktails?
A martini.
How about you, Miss Adams?
None, thank you.
Would you rather have some vodka,
Miss Adams?
I'm sure Arthur can arrange.
No, thank you. Nothing at all.
Oh, why not?
Well, maybe it's because she doesn't want anything to drink, Ethel. Waiter, two martinis?
Yes, sir.
Yep, sir. Will you have anything? Well, we'll order later.
Yes.
You know, Miss Adams, I don't know you anywhere just from your description of Pamela.
Really?
You're as like her. Oh, I'll never forget her first meeting with Spencer. I tell the truth, Miss Adams. That part is completely autobiographical.
Mrs. Stevens, you mean... You think that... But Mrs. Stevens, I assure you every word of that scene was made up.
Oh, of course it was, Miss Adams. But from memory, wasn't it?
Is that what everyone thinks? That I'm supposed...
Of course.
Of course. Why, when Michael... Oh. You know Michael Grant. He was in the office today.
Yes, indeed.
When he heard you were coming up to see
Arthur... He had two notions about you, Miss Adams. One was the same as Ethel's.
Really?
Yes. The other was that you were an old maid schoolteacher with your petticoat
going. Well, very interesting.
Yes.
And since you're not an old maid schoolteacher...
You'd have to know Michael to understand. He rather fancies himself as a man who knows women.
I can get along very well without men who know women. I have so far.
Then I'm just in time.
Michael!
Yes, you've no idea what you missed, Miss Adams. To have your innermost thoughts straightened out so that you know what you're really thinking.
Michael, I thought we had arranged...
Be sure of yourself, you know. To know that there's someone who really understands you, I miss Adams.
Michael?
Where did you come from?
Pardon me while I say good evening to the ladies. Good evening, ladies.
Where did you come from?
You want me to lie to you?
No.
Well, I've been combing the saloons for you. I must say, I had good luck. This is the sixth one I've been in, and here we are, aren't we?
Michael, I told you plainly in Arthur's office.
Oh, that. You didn't think I'd hold that little joke against you, did you?
You're a cocktail, sir.
Don't, because bring one for me, please, whatever it is, as long as it's a whiskey sour.
Yes, sir.
That's all right. Cocktails before dinner is such a lovely custom. Just a minute, waiter. There's only two drinks. Only two. Now, let me solve this by a process of elimination. Mr. Stevenson is drinking, I'm sure of that. Mrs. Stevenson is also drinking, I'm also sure. That leaves, don't tell me, let me guess, that leaves Miss Adams. You're not drinking, Miss Adams?
That's right, I'm not drinking.
You mean you never drink?
Did I say I never drink?
No, you didn't. No. I apologize. It's all just thought. The idea of Miss Carolyn Adams not drinking a slur, Miss Adams, and you do right to resent it. Probably paying off an election bet, is that it?
Miss Adams, yes, Miss Adams not to drink. Is that what you mean, Miss Adams?
I thought there were two things certain in this world. Mm-hmm. That babies eat spinach and that Miss Adams drinks. You've destroyed something very precious in my life, Miss Adams.
Very well, Mr. Grant. I'll tell you why I'm not drinking,
If you're so interested, it's because I've always thought the cocktails are sort of fishy. Don't you think so?
I beg your pardon?
Well, I suppose it's a diversion now and then, but not what you call real drinking. Mr. Stevenson, do you suppose I might have a little straight whiskey?
A little straight what?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Stop gulping, Michael. Waiter, straight whiskey for the lady.
Yes, sir.
Miss Adams, looks like a lovely evening. Miss Adams. What is it, Ethel?
Little Goldilocks drank me right under the table. I'm passing out, Jane.
No, darling, you mustn't. We've got to put Caroline on a train.
Michael will put her on a train. You'd better take little Ethel out of here while she can still walk. Please, Arthur. We can leave while they're not looking.
Oh, she's taken everything, darling. Let's go.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Miss Adams. You just stand still, and I'll dance to the left of you, and then I'll dance to the right of you.
Oh, that's not fair, Mr. Grant. Why don't you stand still, and then I'll dance to the right of you, and then to the left of you.
Well, let's both do it at the same time.
You mean each stand still and dances while the other stands still and dances?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
I think so.
Could we go back to the table now? I think Stevenson...
Oh, the Stevensons. Don't worry about the Stevensons. They've left.
Only what?
Yes, I saw them leave while we weren't looking.
How did you know if you weren't looking?
I look.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Theodora.
Yes.
It's about time we were discussing the charity bazaar, Theodora.
Oh, I suppose so. I'm so tired. Couldn't have waited until perhaps...
It's been delayed too long already. Just because you try to do so much shopping in New York and aren't feeling well today, finish your tea and see you'll feel better.
All right, Andy, all right.
Oh, there's that silly whistling we heard outside of church this morning. Stop fidgeting, Theodora. What's gotten into you?
Nothing at all.
You fidgeted all during church, too. If going to New York for one day affects you like that, but I... Oh, I wish whoever is doing it would stop that whistling.
Well, I'll go to the window and see.
You don't have to see. It's the same whistling. It must be the same man that was outside of church.
I'll make sure, Auntie.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Why, yes.
Walking by?
No, sort of, resting on the gate.
I'll phone Captain O'Donnell and have that good-for-nothing loafer put in jail where he can whistle to his heart's content.
Oh, don't bother, Andy. I'll tell him to go away.
Now, don't. I'll do too much with him. Just tell him once, and then I'll call the police.
How dare you do this to me? How dare you?
Howdy-do, howdy-do. Right smart weather we're having, lady. Right
you
smart.
You get away from here and leave this town as fast as you can go.
Is that the way to talk to a friend? An old drinking companion?
Please, will you listen to me? My aunt is watching us. As far as she is concerned, I don't know a soul outside of Enfield. And if she suspected what you know about me, she'd have fits. Oh, now, be a nice man, won't you please? Tip your hat politely and then get away from here, will you?
It's marvelous. This beats my first guess by a mile.
Won't you please go?
Fine old homestead you got here, lady, but one of your lawns looks seedy, and your lawns do need attendance.
No, they don't.
You know what you need? It's a gardener.
No, don't be absurd. We never had a gardener.
You've got one now.
Oh, please, won't you listen to me? It's just a couple of times.
I can start right away.
No, no,
right
no, no,
this
no, no,
minute.
No, no, no.
Sure,
no.
Simple.
That doesn't go along. Theodora, did you tell him we'd call the police?
I want work, Mom. Work.
He said he's a gardener.
We're not interested.
Well, you ought to be, Mom. Your garden looks pretty bad to me.
We don't care how it looks to you. And don't stand there arguing the topic of voice. You just go along about your own business. It's Sunday.
I was just telling him that, Auntie.
Sunday? I know what time it is. What day of the week it is.
Quiet, you loafer.
You got me all wrong, Mom. You got me all wrong. I'm no loafer. I was just... telling the little lady here the story of my life.
You can't go telling the story of your life in front of our house.
You're quite right, Mom. I'll come in. Open the gate for me, Missy.
But I don't want you to...
Open the gate, Missy Adams.
Oh, all right, all right. I could strangle you.
Wait a minute. Don't close it yet.
Why not?
Because my dog goes where I go. In with you, Herman.
Is this your dog?
Yeah, it's just a half an hour. He's really a nice character.
Sure.
A nice smile and a ready wit.
Yes.
We've decided to throw in together.
Mm-hmm. Does he garden too?
Just with his front feet.
I see.
Shall I knock?
No, it's open. And by the way, my name is Theodora Lynn.
Theodora Lynn, yes. It is, Miss Adams.
I hate you.
Huh? Look here, young man, and keep that dog out of here. If he so much as growls at me...
He never growls at anybody, do you, Herman? You see what I said? Come here, Herman. That's better.
In just 1 minute, I'm going to call the police.
Oh, I wouldn't answer, Becca. I think...
Thank you, young lady. You see, ma'am, my name is Dewberry.
You're just wasting your time, young man.
I see. You're refusing work to a man who needs it, who's willing to work, who wants a chance to recover his self-respect. That isn't very charitable-minded, is it?
Very charitable-minded is the rest, but if you...
All right. Very well. I'll find work right in this town, too, and then I'll have something to say about how people are treated here. I was telling your little niece outside. I'll have a lot to say about a lot of things that are
there
said around here.
There is some work around here, Aunt Rebecca, cleaning up and sort of setting the gardens to...
Thank you, lady. That's what I call intelligent charity. Thank you.
Yes, I'll show him to the fair
in
the tool.
Thank you,
Mom. Have you gone mad, Theodora?
This way, Gardner.
You just lead the way, young lady. I'll follow you.
If you think you're going to that spare room alone with my niece...
Oh, you can come, too.
If you insist...
Don't you like it? I thought it was an inspiration.
Oh, will you unhitch that barking horse at once and stop this nonsense?
All right. Herman doesn't like our idea, Herman.
No, I certainly don't. You ought to know better than to stage a circus right here in our front.
Now, look here. You want me to disappoint people who've walked miles to look me over? I bet I played to an audience of 100 in the last hour.
I hope it's your farewell performance.
Herman, let this be a lesson to you. It's a disgrace to have a little fun in Linfield, and don't forget it.
Now, look here. I've got some things I want to say to you privately.
If this was New York, you could come up to my apartment and see my...
Well, it isn't New York, so just move over to those rose bushes and start trimming.
Don't like rose
bushes. Now, go along.
I don't
keep your eyes on
them.
Your work. There. Now, tell me. How did you track me to Linfield?
I have an elaborate espionage organization all set up for people like you.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Outside of that, I've got a homing instinct like a pigeon.
You know, you reminded me of a pigeon the first time I saw you.
Oh, did I? Now, that's strange.
Now, wait a minute. I insist on your telling me how you found me.
Well, you dropped a few papers out of your purse when we both had that slight difficulty getting out of the cab at the station. Remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
Good. Then you must remember that I made so bold as to try and kiss you.
Look, I am not interested in your memoirs. Now that you've had your little laugh, why don't you go away?
I like it here. And anyway, I've got a new mission in life.
Oh.
I'm going to break you out of this jail and give you to the world. The real you, I mean. I'm going to tell everybody I'm...
You wouldn't be so low as to tell my aunt and Linfield about me.
I would, but I won't. You'll do it yourself.
Oh, no, never.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Tell me, what sort of berries are ripe at this time of year?
Berries? Oh, blueberries. Why?
That's what you and I are going out to pick tomorrow.
Oh, don't be silly. I can't go skipping off into the woods with you.
Not skipping. Picking.
You're a wreck, Mr. Dewberry. A total wreck.
I've come to a conclusion.
Yes.
Berry picking is for the berry pickers. I'm through. And outside of that, you're a nasty character.
I was wondering when you'd catch on.
Are you going to give me some of the berries out of that pail?
Well, if you weren't flat on your back, you could dig into the pail yourself, you know.
I don't want it. Drop them in my mouth. That's a good joke.
Say, who do you think's going to chew them up for you?
Drop them way back, so they just slide down. Hey, that's the idea.
I'm sorry I'm putting you to the trouble of swallowing.
Oh, that's all right. Give the fellow the exercise he needs. More.
Honestly, you're such a fool.
I was wondering when you'd catch on.
Hmm?
Laugh again, will you?
I will not.
You're ashamed of having laughed, aren't you? Out loud and everything. Dear, oh dear, what would Linfield say? Miss Theodora Lynn laughed, my dear. I swear she did. I heard her myself.
Nobody will believe you.
You know you're a strange, sad case, my girl.
No, tell me more, Doctor.
To start with, you're really a nice girl, full of normal desires, but I'll tell you what's happening to them.
All right, what?
They're being strangled to death.
You mean murder?
No, suicide. What Linfield doesn't let you feel, you write about.
Uh-huh.
Love, laughter, freedom, fun, what you want to experience in camp.
Yes, go on, Doctor.
There's a happy world out yonder, young woman. Break loose. So tell Linfield tell Linfield.
Look, I am very happy the way I am. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, you're not.
You won't be free, happy, until you do what I tell you. Now, with my help...
Now, wait a minute. As a matter of fact, you could help me.
Say the word. What do you want me to do?
Get out of Linfield and stay out. Then I'll be very happy and very free. You see, Dr. Dewberry, my real life is right here. Carolyn Adams was an accident. She won't write anymore.
Too bad if you ask me.
Okay, that's your answer if I ask you. And until then, will you please leave it like this, Doctor? I'll be sure to call you if anything ever does go wrong.
You promise?
I promise. I promise that nothing ever will go wrong.
You are listening to the Campbell Playhouse presentation of Theodora Goes Wild, starring Loretta Young and Orson Welles. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Ernest Chapel, ladies and gentlemen, welcoming you back to the Campbell Playhouse. In just a moment, we shall resume our presentation of Theodora Goes Wild. But first, do you remember, I'm sure many of us do, being sent as a child by mother to the market, and that among the things she ordered was a soup bone for making soup? Ha ha, yes, sirree. You trudged down to a friendly store in the neighborhood, made your wants known, and the soup bone was faithfully brought back and made part of a hearty, old-style, heartwarming soup that mother made so well and you enjoyed so much. But I'll wager that the boy or girl going to the store for mother nowadays doesn't very often have a soup bone on the list. Instead, the grocery likely tucks into the bag one or more cans with a familiar red and white label that says Campbell's Soup. Mother knows that into the making of Campbell's Soups go luscious vegetables and fine selected meats. And these soups are the kind she wants her family to have. And so she buys them and serves them regularly. I'd like to ask if you at your house have turned your soup making over to Campbell's. I sincerely believe that if you'll do so, you'll be delighted to see how keenly your family will enjoy these fine soups. And now we resume our Campbell Playhouse presentation of Theodora Goes Wild, starring Orson Welles and Loretta Young.
An explanation, Theodora. I can't imagine what in the world you were thinking of going traipsing off into the woods with a gardener, a man you never saw before yesterday.
Aunt Rebecca, I admit it was wrong to walk down Main Street like that with him carrying a pail of blueberries, and I'm sorry everybody happened to see it. But I honestly can't see that it was all so very sinful.
To be seen publicly with this loafer? Really, Theodora?
And I suppose Linfield has his mind all made up about that.
If Linfield hasn't, I have. Theodora, I'm putting my foot down once and for all. He's not a fit companion for you.
Now look. Isn't it time I use my own judgment in a matter like this?
Very well, then. If you're going to be stubborn about it, his work's about done. You said just a few days. He can be discharged right now.
But I don't want him to be...
All right, I'll tell him to go at once.
It doesn't make any difference to you what I want, does it? It's what you happen to think is good for me. You've been doing that to me since I was 3 years old, and I'm sick of it. You bullied and scolded and frightened me all I'll stand for.
You know what you're saying?
I certainly do, and I haven't said half of what I'm going to say. To begin with, let me tell you something.
Theodora, you're working yourself up over nothing at all.
I don't think I am. And listen carefully, Aunt Rebecca, because I mean every word of this. There's no law that can put that gardener off these premises. He is going to stay.
I say he's not.
What I choose to do is none of Linfield's business. This is a free country, and I'm over 21. Why, as far as Linfield is concerned, the whole town can go and take a jump in the lake.
Theodora!
That gardener will stay as long as I want him to, and that's forever. Because I love him. Out and be yourself. There are big things ahead, and you'll travel faster alone. I'm leaving in a hurry because it'll be better that way. Good luck. And Miss Carolyn Robinson. Michael. Oh. Oh, Michael!
to be the only apartment in New York just because I don't rush.
Oh.
Hello, Michael.
Theodore, what brings you?
I should have let you know I was in the neighborhood, I suppose, by whistling. But you see, Michael, I can't whistle very well. Just listen to this.
Look, Theodora.
Huh? Oh, maybe we better close the door, huh?
I know what you came here about.
Do you?
Yes. That note. Well, about that note, Theodora.
Yes?
Writing it was the most difficult thing I ever had to do.
Yes?
You see, I ran away because... If I'd had any idea that it would become as serious as it did, yes. I wouldn't ever have gone to Linfield. I had no right to let it become serious. Now, please believe me.
I don't believe you.
Well, if you'd let me explain.
I'm not stopping you from explaining.
Well, I can't just say what I want to say now. Now, some other time. I'm expecting my father.
I'm afraid some other time won't do, Michael.
Theodora, there's nothing more important in the world to me than you. Nothing. And there they are now. Theodora, if you... Theodora, they can't find you here.
Who are they, Michael?
My father and
yes?
Theodora.
Yes?
Won't you please go into another room and go sit down someplace?
Yes, Michael, I'll sit down someplace. Right here.
Oh. Hello, Father. Hello, Agnes.
Hello, Michael.
Well, what do you mean by this, Michael? Running out of town, not letting us know about it. Where were you?
Well, I was out of town.
I know that. Where were you?
It's a funny thing, Father, but...
Who's that?
Who's what?
You mean, yeah, excuse me, there's, Miss Lynn from, the Stevenson office. She just, Miss Lynn, she brought some material over I'm going to illustrate as a matter of, my father, Miss Lynn.
How do you do, Mr. Grant?
Well, I suppose I'll have to introduce myself. I'm Mrs. Grant.
Mrs. Grant.
Michael, your mother.
Well, not exactly, Miss Lynn. I'm Michael's wife.
Oh, how do you do?
Michael, where did you say you were?
In the country, sketching.
Well, that's a new name for it.
Did you drift back into town accidentally?
No.
Or did you remember that I'm giving a reception for the governor?
I remember of course I remember.
Yes, well, I trust that you'll be good enough to remember also that I expect you and Agnes to be present.
Well, he's the one that's insisting, Michael, if it were up to
but
me.
But, Father...
I expect you and with Agnes.
Father, this pretense of my happy marriage can't go on. It's been washed up for 5 years. Agnes is just as sick of it as I am.
That's a lie. I'm sicker of it.
I thought we agreed there'd be no divorce as long as I hold public office. Now, you gave me your word, and that's the way it's going to be.
Nothing can be done with it,
but
Michael.
There'll be no buts. You know what's expected of you, Michael. Come on, Agnes. Goodbye, Miss.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Michael.
Goodbye.
I can scarcely wait for the governor's reception.
Neither can I.
We always have such cheerful meetings,
yes,
don't we?
Certainly do. That is.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all clear now, is it?
Well, in a way, Michael. You know, seeing these paintings of yours gives me an idea. What you need, Michael, is an artist model.
What?
An artist model.
The slightest use for a model.
Oh, but that's unimportant. You've got one now.
Who?
Me.
What for?
Oh, to mow the lawn and do the transplanting and pick the berries and laugh at the neighbors. You know.
It's a joke.
You
I get it.
You see, Michael... You're living in a jail. You don't call your soul
now,
your
wait
own.
A minute. If you're pretending there's any similarity between your situation and mine,
well, what's
Theodora?
The difference? What's to stop you from being free?
Well, I'm under an obligation to my father. After all, I haven't any right to...
Oh, I see. Michael, you claim to love me, don't you?
You know I do. And the very minute I'm free, darling,
when
Theodora...
When precisely is this minute to be?
Well, just let father serve out his term as lieutenant governor.
Yes?
He's decided not to run for office again.
Yes?
Ever. And... That means that within 2 years...
2 years?
Yes.
2 years is exactly 2 years too long.
Now, be reasonable, Theodora. If I had any way in the world...
If you had any courage, if you had any outlook, why, you wouldn't think of waiting for 2 years. Oh, Michael, it's pretty clear to me that what you need is a model.
Theodora, you're not being fair.
Oh, yes, I'm being fair. Is this the phone to the lobby downstairs?
Yes, that's the... Why?
Thank you. Hello?
What are you doing?
Those boxes and things that were left in the lobby. Will you send them up to Mr.
Theodora.
Grant's apartment, please? Yes, yes, that's right. Thank you.
What are you talking... What boxes? What things?
Well, my clothes. You don't think I'm going to stay here indefinitely without any clothes,
exactly. What do you think you're going to do?
Return a favor, darling.
Well, how? By moving in here and breaking a scandal about my ears?
Well, you've got to expect a scandal when you've got a model living in your apartment.
Hey.
Oh, no. Now, let me. I'm sure it's for me. There, right.
Oh.
Bring them right in, young man. Thank you very much.
Listen to me. If you're going to stay here, I'm not...
Oh, and it's such a nice apartment. You'd be so happy here.
I'm leaving right now!
Oh. Boy, will you please take these things into the spare bedroom?
Yes, ma'am.
And, boy, tell them at the desk, if there are any calls from Miss Caroline Adams, I'll be in Mr. Grant's apartment from now on.
Funny, Miss Lynn.
I am not Miss Lynn, I am Miss Adams. And I don't want you to think that this is a friendly call, Mr. Stevenson, because it isn't. I came here to have a fight.
But really, Miss Lynn, there isn't
Adams,
anything that...
I am dissatisfied with the treatment I received from my publisher. I mean you, Mr. Stevenson. Why don't I get any publicity around
but
here?
But my dear Miss Lynn, Miss Adams, I...
You may call me Theodora, Mr. Stevenson. Go on, call me Theodora.
Theodora.
Oh, that sounds very good indeed. You know that Caroline Adams is Theodora, but who else knows Theodora as Caroline Adams?
Nobody.
Nobody, that's right. The widest selling author in the country, and who knows anything about me? Who knows that I'm young and modern and... Oh, you're going to say beautiful? Well, come along, will you?
Oh, yes, go ahead. Beautiful.
Beautiful, thank you very much. Why aren't the facts of my life in Linfield known everywhere? Do you realize what a story that would make?
But you said I always thought that...
You never thought. I'm beginning to see why the publishing business is so bad. Publishers don't care about increasing the sales of their books.
Don't they?
No, they don't. I'm going to give you one more chance, Mr. Stevenson. I want publicity, and I want lots of it. I want my picture on every jacket of every book of mine sold. I want the story of Theodore Lynn and Carolyn Adams splattered over every paper in every town in this country. Do you get the general idea, Mr. Stevenson?
I think I do.
Well, make sure that you do. You know, you don't want to forget. There are lots of other publishers, but there is only one, Carolyn Adams.
What are you talking about?
Well, look here, wire. It says that Mr. Waterbury, you'll never guess who Carolyn Adams is.
Well, for heaven's sake, who is she?
Theodora Lynn.
What?
Yeah.
Carolyn Adams is Theodora Lynn? Henry, don't stand with your mouth open. Get busy. Dust up the type we used when war was declared. At 8-column streamer, Henry. Linfield's daughter is Caroline Adams. Celebrated novelist, our own Theodora Lynn. Henry, it's the biggest news, bigger than the World Series.
Gentlemen, just a minute. You'll all have your interview.
Okay, Miss Adams.
Yes?
What about a little advice to young people of today?
Oh, very well. It seems to me that nothing is more important to the modern young girl than this, gentlemen. Be free. Express yourself. Take your life in your own hands and mold it.
Oh, that's swell, yeah.
Yes, that is pretty good, isn't it? The world will try to take your freedom away from you, but you'll have to fight for it. It's all you have to live for, girls. Anything else, Devin?
Have you started a new book, Miss Adams?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have one pretty well in mind, yes.
Well, would you care to tell us anything about it?
Why, I'd be delighted. Let me see. It's about about love that came to a young girl hidden away in a small mountain town. Outwardly, she seems to belong to that narrow, benighted community. But in her heart, she longed to be called baby.
Oh, that's great, Miss Adams.
And then out of that big city, there came to that little hamlet the man who did call her baby. And from then on, gentlemen, the story warms up. Of course, I haven't worked out the ending yet, but I'll guarantee you it'll be interesting, at least.
That wouldn't be the story of your life by any chance, would it, Miss Adams?
Well, I shouldn't wonder.
Who's the man?
The man. Well, after all, gentlemen, I'm entitled to one little secret, don't you think?
Yeah, but only one. That's the rules. So suppose you tell us. Isn't this Michael Grant's apartment?
Michael Grant?
Yeah.
Michael Grant.
Yeah, yeah. Son of Albert W. Grant, Lieutenant Governor.
Oh.
Unless I'm mistaken.
Oh, indeed, you're not mistaken. Yes, this is Mr. Grant's apartment.
We can print that, can't we?
I beg your pardon?
That you're living in Mr. Grant's apartment.
Well, gentlemen, since I am, I don't know what we can do about it. Though how you ever wormed that fact out of me, I'll never know.
Now, don't tell me there isn't anything you can do about it, Michael.
Well,
you have to do something about it.
I can't. If you only understand, part of this girl has made up her mind.
Yes, she certainly has. Giving your address, your apartment.
Call the police and have her thrown out.
What your father means, Michael.
I know what my father means, Agnes, but he forgets that New York will be looking on if I call in the police, and that'll be fine publicity for the governor's reception, Father.
Now, you must do it without publicity.
The idea of a notorious woman like that. Did you read what she has to say about herself? Hidden away in a hamlet, her soul enslaved, a woman leading a double life.
If not crippled.
We don't need your corrections, Agnes. This isn't any consideration of yours.
Why not?
Well, it isn't.
After all, if she's out to break up our marriage, Michael, maybe I ought to root for her.
I want you to behave yourself, too, Agnes.
Yes. All right. But let me say this.
Don't.
This woman can do anything she wants to as long as nobody suffers with Michael.
Right.
If it gets talked about it, I'm made to look like a foolish, deceived wife.
You are.
I'll protect myself. Michael's not going to drag me
into
anything.
Can't you understand? I'm not dragging anybody into anything. It's just...
You must make this woman stop her practical joke immediately,
practical
Michael. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir. I just don't understand how I'm going to do it.
Well, that'll be up to you.
You're so clever, Michael. You'll think of something. Michael, make yourself at home.
Thank you.
Here, let me take your hat. Won't you sit down?
No, I won't sit down. Just come to tell you something, Theodora.
Oh, but you mustn't think you have to have a reason for coming, Michael. After all, this is your home as much as mine. You're always welcome. You know that.
Stop it, Theodora. Don't you know you're getting yourself the worst possible kind of reputation?
Have I really, Michael? Oh, I knew I would, but I didn't dare hope
to. I want you to stop it.
But, Michael, darling, I can't stop it. Don't you see? I'm just being myself. Whatever happens, just the way I am, I'm free, Michael.
Free.
You ought to try it sometime, you know.
I'd wring your neck right now. Only that'd just make matters worse.
Oh. You do care about me, don't you?
Listen to me, Theodora. I came up here to ask you to do me a favor.
Ah, that's the second thing you said you came up here about. But to start with, you said you only came up here about one thing. You know, you confuse me, Michael.
Please, Theodora, please.
All right, Michael,
Theodora,
what is it?
Try to be quiet until after the governor's reception, please.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you get out of town until the reception is over? That's all I ask of you. I'll come up to Linfield and talk to you in a month. Only get out now. You're making my life miserable.
Oh, that's a sign that a struggle's going on within you, Michael. But you will be victorious. Don't worry. Yes, the light will break suddenly, and then you'll rise up and tell your father what I told Linfield. And, oh, you'll be so happy, Michael. You can break your chains if you want to. We all can.
Why can't you be a little reasonable, Theodora?
I've forgotten how after Linfield.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
There's nothing I can...
Nothing, Michael. Nothing. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't stay away so long the next time, Michael. I want you to treat this apartment as if it were your very own.
Anymore, Governor. Do you mind if we hang around and get whatever pictures we can?
Why, of course not.
Thanks.
Governor Cameron, you remember my son Michael and his wife?
Why, of course. How do you do, Michael?
How do you do, sir?
Still painting, Michael?
Kitty, he isn't a statesman, isn't it, Governor?
Kitty, haven't I seen your name in the papers recently, Michael, about... the incident.
You don't mean the story about Carolyn Adams.
Oh,
that is Theodora Lynn, do you, Governor?
Why, I don't really remember.
Well, she's the woman that was living in Michael's apartment, you know.
Well, Governor, you see...
She's a celebrated novelist, Governor.
Yes, a sensational novelist,
Governor, and a woman with quite a misunderstanding,
Governor. I assure you.
You see, I never met the lady myself. It was, as a matter of fact, my publisher, as it happened, gave her the use of my apartment. You know how the newspapers are, Governor.
Indeed, I do.
Yes, you do.
I hope steps are taken to clear this matter up.
They will be.
You know, your father and
I... Michael is clearing the whole thing up.
Yeah, I'm clearing the whole matter up,
Your
sir.
Father and I have been very careful to keep this administration clean, my boy.
Oh, I know that, sir. Agnes.
What?
Darling, this is our dance, I believe.
Why,
Governor,
Michael, I
believe me. You dance with your husband, you must dance with me, Mr.
Yes.
Thank you, Governor.
See you, Governor.
Governor, you dance divinely.
Thank you, miss. I didn't quite get your name.
Adam.
Oh, yes, Adam.
Yes.
Well, you're a splendid dancer, too, Miss Adams.
Well, thank you, Governor.
Michael, tell me quickly.
Yes?
Is that woman with the governor?
There's no question about it, Father, can't you see?
Oh, this is terrible. possible. In 5 minutes, everybody in the house will know who she is.
They got a picture of her a minute ago with the governor.
All right, I'll take care of that. Now, hurry. See to it that she gets out of this house, Michael. Take her out into the garden on the terrace anywhere.
I'll
and keep her there for the rest of the evening.
There you are, Grant. Oh, delightful party. And I just had the most fascinating dance. Let me present Miss
Adams.
Oh, yes, Miss Adams. Mr. Grant and Michael Grant.
How do you do?
Adams?
So nice, Miss Adams. Isn't this the most delightful party? You know, I don't know when I've enjoyed myself so much, and the governor dances divinely.
Give me a charming lady to dance with, and I'm young again.
Yes, that's what Michael always says, isn't it, Michael?
It's what I always say.
Ah, there's the music again.
May I have the pleasure of this dance, Miss Adams?
I could use the power of my office to keep Miss Adams for myself, but youth should be served occasionally, I suppose.
Ah, you're a wonder.
I relinquish Miss Adams to you, Michael, with regret.
Thank you, Governor. I'll see you.
You're not keeping time with music very well, Mr. Grant. Would it help you if I whistled?
The only thing that would help would be if the floor were to open up and swallow us both, or anyway you. How'd you get in here?
Oh, you know, isn't that funny? I said to myself, I'll bet the first thing Michael asked me is, how did I get in here?
How did you get in here?
Oh, darling, don't hold me so tight. This is hardly the point.
How did you get in here?
Well, you don't have to get in the back of it. Stevenson's had an invitation, and they decided not to come, and so...
I want to talk to you. Come on out here in the balcony.
Hey, darling, my arm. You're awfully strong.
Now then, you're obviously at this party to start something. What are you going to do? Don't try to fool me. Everywhere you are these days, something happens.
Why, Michael?
Listen to me, Theodora. If you try to start anything here tonight, I'll spend the rest of my life persecuting you. And that goes if you're not out of this house in 15 minutes.
Oh, you couldn't really persecute me, could you, Michael?
Yes, I could. Well, maybe not, but I'd hire somebody.
Oh.
You've got to get out of my apartment and out of New York inside of 2 days. Is that clear?
Do you mean that, Michael?
I mean every word of it.
I'm to go back to Linfield?
Linfield.
And just wait?
And wait.
Oh, is this really goodbye?
Only for now. You do as I ask you to do, Theodore.
You're bribing me, Michael.
I'm not bribing you. I'm just trying to make something...
All right, Michael, I'll go. I'll go back home. But I would like something to remember you by.
Have anything? Sure, anything.
Well, could I have a kiss, Michael?
Not here. When I see you off, on the train, I'll kiss you
down. But supposing you don't come to the train, supposing you're afraid...
I'll come to the train and
kiss
you on the train.
But I can't take that chance.
Theodora.
Michael.
Hold it. I'm surprised, Mr. Grant. Hey,
what?
Miss Adams, on the nose, no fool.
Hey.
I told you, boys, you just wait long enough.
Theodora. You mean you arranged all this?
Well, aren't you flattered, Michael?
I am. You little sneak.
Take it easy.
Double crosser, Miss. For those photographers, I'll break their necks if they print that picture. I'll skin them alive.
Michael, you know you can't catch them. What are you
talking about? As for you, if I ever said I loved you, Theodora.
If you ever said you loved me, what?
Why, I beg your pardon. Oh, Governor. Hello, Governor. What's going on here?
Can't you see, Governor? It's my husband and Miss Adams with their arms around each other. Michael, you really distinguished yourself this time.
Yes, what is it, Henry?
Say, look at this on the wire. Here, Mr. Waterbury.
What? Well, Mrs. Michael Grant sues for divorce.
Yep.
Grant's Carolyn Adams has love feast.
Yep.
Henry, my boy, the moment has come. I want nothing but red ink on the front page this afternoon. Nothing but red ink, you understand? Oh, I wish we hadn't used that big type last time.
Yes, Miss Lynn, Miss Waterbury.
Yeah, what is it now, Miss Rebecca?
It's this headline in your paper.
Well, we got to print headlines in the paper. The paper would look silly without them.
That's right, Miss Lynn. Very funny, Mr. Waterbury. Very funny.
Yeah, Theodora arriving Saturday.
Well, she is arriving Saturday, isn't she?
Yeah, she certainly is, Mr. Waterbury.
Most illustrious citizen of Linfield, who are on her hometown.
She is our most illustrious citizen, isn't she?
She sure is. All of Linfield to welcome its celebrity, Theodora.
Tells everything in a few words, don't it? That's what a headline ought to be. Let me tell you, Miss Rebecca, very few editors...
Let me tell you, Mr. Waterbury, I won't have it.
Won't have what?
This civic reception you're planning for my niece. I'll see to it that nobody in this town participates in your disgraceful plan. And if you think that...
Miss Rebecca, let me tell you something. You may be able to ruin me in my paper, but it's all right with me if you do. If there's nobody else down at the station Saturday, there'll be Henry and me. And if I have to get my paper out on Monday for the last time, Miss Rebecca, I give you fair warning, you'll be in the headlines. You'll be the headlines.
Not yet.
Another 30 seconds,
maybe. Well, okay, but her arms are getting awful tired. Yes, sir, now?
I'll tell you when.
Now? Now?
Now!
yourself by not concealing anything that you do, because you know that what you're doing is right. There's no reason why anybody...
That's enough out of you, Jed Waterbury.
Aunt Rebecca.
What are you doing here, Miss Rebecca?
Welcoming my niece home. You know anybody who has a better right?
But I...
Just because you didn't see me doesn't mean I wasn't here. That's what telegraph poles are for, Mr. Waterbury, to hide behind from people like you. And another thing, I never did hear a brass band play as bad as yours did just now. I guess I've got to do the band leading, too, here in Linfield. Let's see you play as if you meant it.
Okay.
Blow hard, all of you. Like it was your last blow. Are you ready?
One, two, three.
Blow!
I haven't left out a single thing, and the only reason I didn't tell you
was my fault. You got a notion I was trying to make you do what I wanted you to do. Well, I guess I was. Only if I'd known you was as capable of handling things by yourself as you are. You know, Theodora, mm-hmm. I got a confession to make to you.
Well, what is it, Aunt Rebecca?
Well, I've always been telling you to behave like all the Lynns there ever was before you,
yes.
But I forgot to tell you there's been wild Lynns as well as quiet ones. You're going
question.
Wild like that. No surprise to me. I can remember when I was your age, there was a young fellow over in Springfield.
Yes?
No. I guess I better not.
Well, go on, Aunt Rebecca.
Oh, no, another time. Now, right now, I tell you what, you go out in the tool shed and get me my garden scissors. Those bushes need pruning.
Oh, but Aunt Rebecca, surely they can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah,
come on.
I'll go out in that tool shed and get me my garden scissors.
Yes, Aunt Rebecca.
Hello, Theodora.
Michael.
I wanted to come to the station, but Aunt Rebecca...
Oh, I'm glad you didn't. Oh, it's so much nicer here, just the two of us, Michael. Oh, I beg your pardon, Herman. I meant just the three of us.
You have been listening to the Campbell Playhouse presentation of Theodora Goes Wild, starring Loretta Young and Orson Welles. Mr. Welles will be back with us in just a moment, but right now, if I may, a brief reminder. When you enjoy Campbell's vegetable soup at your table, you are eating vegetable soup every bit as fine as any that ever came out of a home soup kettle. That's because it's made in the old-fashioned, old home way. It's 15 different garden vegetables, and its invigorating beef stock give it the stoutness and substance, the really hearty eating that you want in a soup at this time of year. No wonder, indeed, that families everywhere look upon Campbell's vegetable soup as, well, as almost a meal in itself. Now, wouldn't piping hot plates of vegetable soup as Campbell's make it taste really good at supper tomorrow night? And now, here is Orson Welles.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present tonight's guest star. Not only is she one of Hollywood's best-known actresses, but she is, by common consent, one of the best-liked members of the movie colony. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Loretta Young.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Wells. I'm particularly happy to be here tonight because I really think I'm what could be called a Campbell's Playhouse veteran. I was on the very second Campbell Playhouse broadcast in Clive of India with Ronald Coleman back in, October 1934.
I was going to bring that up. Our records show that you've only appeared with us 5 times, including tonight, since then, and that's not nearly enough.
Thank you.
I want you to promise you'll be back with us again very soon.
I'll be glad to appear again here, Orson.
While we're about it, I feel I must warn you, Loretta, about tonight's broadcast.
Warn me about what?
Well, you know what you're going to be suspect from now on, don't you? Let an anonymous novel appear anywhere. Let any author use a nom de plume, and we'll all be convinced you're the author.
Well, that's a marvelous idea. And it'll make a good plot for a picture or a broadcast. Oh, why don't we do it and call it Theodora Goes Wild?
Great. And I could play a young artist called Michael and go to Linfield and pick up a dog called Herman.
Yes, you got the idea.
I'm ready anytime you are.
Well, it's a deal. As soon as I finish with my next picture.
That wouldn't be a Columbia Pictures Corporation picture, would it?
Yes. It would be, Orson, and thank you very much.
Don't mention it. Thank you, Loretta Young. And good night.
Good night.
Miss Young, of course, ladies and gentlemen, with Theodora. Jed Waterbury was Ray Collins. Mr. Grant Sr. was Everett Sloan. Mrs. Michael Grant was Georgia Backus. Mary Taylor was Mrs. Stevenson. Aunt Rebecca was Clara Blandick. Frank Reddick was Arthur Stevenson. And Michael Grant was your obedient servant. Now it's the next week. Next Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, our offering will be The Citadel by A.J. Cronin. A human story of the struggle of a young doctor and his wife to see and hold their way clear against the complexities of modern life in his profession. And as Christine, the clear-eyed wife, who manages to remain true at all times, not only to her own self, but to her husband's true self as well, we regard ourselves as extremely fortunate in being able to present an actress who has been universally acclaimed as the outstanding motion picture discovery of last year, with unanimous critical acclaim for her performance in Wuthering Heights and Dark Victory. One of the brightest of the new stars in the Hollywood firmament, Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald. And so until next Sunday night in the Citadel, my sponsors, the makers of Campbell Soups, and all of us here in the Campbell Playhouse remain, as always, obediently yours.
Makers of Campbell Soups, join Orson Welles in inviting you to be with us in the Campbell Playhouse again next Sunday evening when we present A.J. Cronin's The Citadel with Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald as our guest star. Meanwhile, if you've enjoyed tonight's presentation, won't you tell your grocer so tomorrow when you order Campbell's Vegetable Soup? This is Ernest Chappell saying thank you and good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.